ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. I know your Bibles are open up to John chapter 7 because we've been in there so long, but John chapter 8, and we're just doing this in-depth study of the Gospel of John, and I hope you're as blessed as I've been as I go through this. These are some amazing scriptures. And if you remember, as we've seen in our study of John chapter 7, the Feast of Tabernacles is now over, and at this feast, Jesus told the crowd of people and the religious leaders, he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And that statement by Jesus caused a lot of division amongst the Jews. Some said he was the prophet that Moses spoke about. Others said he's not the Messiah. No Messiah is going to come out of Galilee. And thus there was division, we're told, among the people because of him. And for the Jewish religious leaders, they wanted Jesus arrested, and they sent officers to arrest him and bring him back. The problem was the officers didn't bring Jesus back. In fact, when Jesus spoke, the words he was speaking blew their minds. They couldn't believe that someone could speak like that. And so there was confusion. And you kind of, in verses 45 through 52 of John 7, we see all the turmoil that's going on with these religious leaders. It says, "Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, 'No man ever spoke like this man.' Then the Pharisees answered them, 'Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed.' Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, 'Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?' They answered and said to him, 'Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee.'" And so all this confusion, and these Jewish religious leaders didn't really think highly of the common people. They looked down upon them. They're not intelligent. They don't have what we are, men of God. And that was the problem. And at the end, everyone went to their own house. But the debate is not settled. And for the Jewish religious leaders, they wanted Jesus dead. They didn't believe he was a prophet of God. They did not believe he was the Messiah. Absolutely. They did not believe he was the Son of God. And so that's going to lead us into what we're going to see in our study this morning, because they're going to set Jesus up to show everyone he's not the Messiah, not even close. And I believe this with every study that we go through. These lessons we find here in these verses we're going to look at this morning are for us today. That's why the Holy Spirit has these words in here. And we're going to see, obviously, you know, we face battles every day, confrontation, mockings, all kinds of things, and we have to be prepared to face them. You know, Tony and the two Matts have, you know, they're running for school board. They have faced tremendous opposition. It's amazing the things that they're saying against them. And Tony, you know, from his posts have answered them. I'm sure they don't like what he has to say because he's just honest. And we're going to see Jesus this morning show us what to do, how we're to respond in situations, because our direction's from the Lord. And I've called this study Forgiven. And again, it's important for us to understand this as well, because I don't care what you've done, I don't care who you are, Jesus is there with his arms open wide, ready to forgive you if you would let him come in. So some interesting verses and things we're going to look at. I've broken these verses into a few points here. They're in your bulletin. One is preparation for the day in John 8:1, ministry in John 8:2, the setup in John 8 verses 3 through 6a. Jesus exposes their sin in John 8 verses 6b through 8. hard hearts, John 8:9, the first verse, A. And forgiving Savior, John 8:9b through 11. So let's begin in John 8:1 as we look at this topic of forgiven. This is what we're told. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Really simple, isn't it? And remember what happened back in John 7:53. Everyone went to his own home. Where did Jesus go? To the Mount of Olives. That's why I've called this verse preparation. What do you think Jesus went to do on the Mount of Olives? I believe he was praying. That's why he went up there. He didn't go home. He was seeking direction for the day that was coming. Now, some may wonder why I think Jesus spent the night praying. Well, in John 8:2, we see that it was early in the morning he came again into the temple. So he spent the night on the Mount of Olives praying. And the reason I believe he was praying is in Luke 22:39, and I think he did this often. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. So this was a place that he often got alone to pray, to seek direction from God the Father. And here in Luke, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his arrest and then his crucifixion. And again, it says, as he was accustomed. I think for us as Christians, this is how we should start our day, with prayer, seeking direction from God. Why? Because we need direction, don't we? I mean, it would be nice to know all that the day has for us. But haven't you started a day and it was pretty good and all of a sudden you got slammed by someone? Where did that come from? And we need to be prepared. And, you know, God directs us. And I'm not saying, you know, God's going to tell you, you know, wear this color socks and, you know, these shoes or whatever. But as you spend time with him, you're in tune to him. And throughout the day, he's going to be showing you. And I think that's really important. Our lives are so busy sometimes, though. I don't have time for prayer. We don't think prayer is important. But prayer is very important. If Jesus took time to pray, he was giving us an example of what we should do. Pray. And I don't think you can minister to people unless you are in tune with God. So you can see what he has for you. And that means you pray. You talk. Prayer is talking to God. You know, we think prayer, oh, you know, we start to have to use the New King or the King James English, you know. Thou, O Lord, you know. No, you just talk to him. I don't talk to my wife in, you know, the King James English. Thou, O Julie. I don't know. You know, she would think, she already thinks I'm crazy, so she'd think I was a little worse. But how important it is just to talk to him. You don't have to use fancy words. Just speak from your heart. Lay it all out before him. You know, in Luke 21, verses 37 through 38, we're told, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mount called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. So he spends the night on the Mount of Olives praying, and in the morning he's ready to meet people. And we're going to see that played out. And again, in Luke, the cross is just a few days away. And yet he's still ministering. Why? Because he took the time to pray. And thus, he also took the time then to teach the people. And we'll see that after the preparation, there's ministry. Look at verse 2 here in John chapter 8. But early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. You know, after the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem for some time, and we see he's here early in the morning. He gets up, passing through the Kidron Valley up to the temple so he can teach the people. You know, it's interesting because the Jewish religious leaders wanted Jesus arrested and ultimately put to death. You go, well, why didn't you flee Jerusalem? Because he sought direction from the Father. And the Father was directing him to stay there, and now he's in the temple teaching the people again. And it's interesting that he sat down to teach. That was the position a rabbi would take as he taught. And the people stood. So maybe we should change that. Maybe I should say, no, just kidding. But when he wanted to proclaim something, he would stand up. They would stand up. Now, you think, well, how does this apply to me? Because I'm not a pastor or a teacher. I work in business. I'm a construction worker. I work at a grocery store. I work for the post office. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And the list can go on and on. Think about it. In those jobs, you don't need direction from God. If you're a stay-at-home mom, oh my gosh, you need direction, right? But all of us, I don't care what you're doing, need direction from God. And as you spend time with Him, that preparation, it prepares you for the day ahead. And it's amazing the things that the people that God brings across your path. Prayer is important. And it's not that you have to take an hour to pray. You just talk with God. And you could talk with Him throughout the day, can't you? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for me, when all that I went through prior to the trip to Russia to teach at the pastor's conference out there, if I wasn't directed by God, I would have never, ever gone. My wife had a total knee replacement on November 23rd. And I knew I was going to Russia in January. And I thought, you know, how am I going to go? Because, you know, her last knee surgery, it took a long time for her to recover. But the Lord really impressed on my heart that He wanted me to go to Russia, and I just rested in that fact, and Julie healed faster than she did before. Praise God. So I'm back on schedule for Russia. I'm feeling good about it. I had all my flights from Green Bay to Detroit to New York, and then on to Russia, and then back from Russia to New York, and then Detroit, and then Green Bay. And then I get this email from Travelocity that my flight back from Russia is canceled. Well, it's kind of important to come back home, you know. My wife wanted me home, praise God for that. She didn't say, hey, just stay there. But so things are a mess again. And I just, again, you know, I felt the Lord encouraging me to hang in there. It's going to be taken care of. So I get an email from Aeroflot, the Russian Airlines, that they rebooked me on a later flight. No, praise the Lord. I'm all set, right? No problems. Things are good to go. And the problem, though, my return flight would get me into JFK in New York about 5:30. My flight from New York to Detroit was at 5:40. So I had 10 minutes to get off the plane and get to the other airlines. I'm really fast, but I couldn't even get off the plane in 10 minutes, okay? So there's no way I was going to make that, so I had to reschedule. And again, I felt the Lord really wanted me to go, even though there's all these issues. And I booked a flight from New York to Detroit, taken care of. But here's the problem. I had to stay overnight in New York. And in New York, you have to be vaccinated to go to restaurants and hotels and things like that. And that was a problem. And the amazing thing about this, before I even knew about this, because God knows what we need before we need it, in September, the Lord laid it upon my heart to get the COVID vaccine, something I kind of was putting off. My wife was already vaccinated because of her, she was on autoimmune drugs, and I just didn't want to get it at that time. But then all of a sudden, the Lord put it, you need to get it. All right. And praise the Lord, because I could stay at a hotel room, I could go to restaurants, right? Then there's more. Back in October, maybe earlier, I've been dealing with this pain in my left leg. It goes from my hip down to my foot. Sometimes it's really bad. If I take a lot of ibuprofen, I'm pretty good. But sometimes it feels like someone's taking a nail and driving it through my foot. And I couldn't sit down. I would stand up to watch TV for 3 hours with Julie in the evening. I stand up because I couldn't sit. So how am I going to sit on a plane for 10 hours? But again, I felt the Lord really impressing upon me I needed to go, that He would take care of it. And I went to a pain specialist. He gave me some cortisone injections, which didn't help at all. I still was, there were times I was just in tears. I couldn't take the pain. I'm like, I don't know what, I can't deal with this. And I went to a chiropractor, no help there. And I asked the pain doctor, I said, can I just try prednisone? So he gave me a 5-day dose of prednisone where you start with a high dose and taper off. And it worked. I mean, I was pretty much pain-free. I thought, this is great. And I said, you know, can I have prednisone for my trip to Russia? Not the tapered dose. I just want to stay on a steady dose, and then I could taper when I get back. No, he wouldn't do that. So I still felt the Lord telling me I needed to go, that I needed to stay focused upon him, and he would take care of it. I even had a pastor call me and say, why are you going to Russia? Do you know that there's going to be a war breaking out? I said, because the Lord wants me to go. I have no other explanation, but the Lord wants me there. Well, the Monday night before the trip on Friday when I was leaving, it was probably 11 o'clock in the evening, and my insulin pump went off. It said that my blood sugar was low. I have to admit, I wasn't happy. I was like, come on, I just want to sleep. Now I got to go downstairs, get some juice, and come back. And I don't want to, I'm in bed. I don't want to get up. But I got up, and I walked downstairs, and I'm smelling smoke. I'm smelling that there's some kind of electrical fire. I'm feeling all the walls. The smell was horrendous. And I looked around, and all of a sudden I looked at the dishwasher, and it was off. Well, that's not right. We just turned it on. I tried to hit the buttons. No. So I opened the door. Oh, my gosh, it's coming from there. But the smell, it smelled so bad, this electrical burning wire smell, that I ended up calling the fire department. So out comes, you know, what, 3 firemen, 2 police officers, and the firemen are all in their garb. You know, they got all their stuff on, and they're pulling my dishwasher out, and, you know, all this stuff is going on. And I just felt, this is the devil trying to keep me from going. He's trying to discourage me. He's doing everything that he can. And I know what the Lord said. And it reminded me of what the Lord said to Joshua as he was preparing him to go into the promised land with the children of Israel. In Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9, the Lord said to Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, perspective is everything. I know what the Lord called me to do. And all these other things were distractions to get me from what the Lord called me to do, to focus on all these things. And, you know, some people look at it and go, are you kidding? How could you even go? Look at all that's happened. Well, here's the thing. When we think of going and doing ministry, that everything, all the ducks line up in a row, right? Everything is perfect. There's no problems. Let me help you out with that. When you are serving the Lord, you are going to get beaten by the devil. And you've probably experienced that in your life. All of a sudden you start a ministry, or you start this work, or you do this, and you just get attacked. All these things are happening. And the devil's trying to distract you. I didn't have to fear. I didn't have to be dismayed. Why? Because the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. So with all that preparation, ministry was before me. What God was doing in me here was preparing me to share with the people in Russia. And if I really didn't know God wanted me to go to Russia, if he hadn't spoken to my heart about this over and over and over and over again, through all that mess, I wouldn't be going. But yeah, I went. And the amazing thing, you know, you prepare the studies, you're getting all ready. I did 8 studies in about 10 days. And one of the studies was this one guy. He was from, he was a pastor in Russia. His name's Archie. He's a great guy. Love him. his eyes were real big while I was teaching. And I probably told you this. I thought, well, either he's really tired and he's trying to stay awake, or whatever I said, I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something. So afterwards, we were talking. He goes, you know, what you said up there, all those points you were bringing, I was sharing about these things with the pastor, another pastor, every single one of them. He was blown away. I mean, he couldn't believe. That's God. I said, well, you know, my last study I called The Eye of the Storm. And again, his eyes got real big. I'm like, oh my gosh, now what? And he said, you know, I feel like I'm in the midst of this storm and I can't get to the eye. Lord, you are an amazing God. You wanted me here. I got to teach at the homeless shelter. And the message that God gave me, it blessed me and the guys were blessed. It's like, Lord, I didn't even prepare this study. You gave it to me that morning because I was asked, can you do another study? I'm like, absolutely. We have to always understand that there's the preparation and then there's the ministry. And again, as we focus back here in John chapter 8, Jesus was in trouble with these religious leaders. It didn't stop him, did he? Many say, oh, you know, I don't want to cause any trouble. No, he went back to the temple to teach the people. Lots of turmoil. But why didn't it stop him? Because he was directed by the Father. And that's always the key. We just don't go charging into a situation unless we're directed by God. Now, he's doing the will of God, right? He's doing what the Father wants him to do. So he's not going to face any opposition? Are you kidding me? He is. And that brings us to the next point, the setup. Look at verse 3 here in John chapter 8. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. And I'm just going to stop there. This is a setup. Jesus is teaching in the temple. People were coming to hear what he had to say. Crowds were growing. And here comes these scribes and Pharisees. And they bring this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. It wasn't gossip. It was not information that was passed down to them. They were watching, and they caught her in the very act of adultery. That's creepy, okay? I don't know if you read that and go, you were watching? What is wrong with you people, right? And people read this and they don't see a whole lot wrong with it. But I do. And it's very possible, many commentators believe this, that she was dragged from her home naked, dragged through the streets of Jerusalem for all to see. And here she is standing in front of Jesus now, and this huge crowd of people naked. And can you imagine how she felt at this point, the humiliation she was going through? Yes, she was having a sexual relationship outside of marriage, but was this the right thing to do? And these are the religious leaders in Israel. They want to catch Jesus and how he deals with this. And I think they had something against this woman as well. Morris picks up on this. He said, all the indications are that her accusers had some special vindictiveness against her. This is shown also in the fact that they brought the woman along publicly. There was no need for this. She might have been kept in custody while the case was referred to Jesus. And again, you had to have at least two witnesses to make a charge like this. And they had to agree perfectly to what took place, what they witnessed. And I think a bunch of these religious leaders witnessed this. All of them that are around Jesus now. And they observed this very act. And it's interesting. It's not that they had to see the very act of adultery. It's not that they could just see the two people in bed. They had to see the very act of adultery. This is, again, a setup. No doubt. Here's this woman caught in the very act of adultery. And they're more interested in stoning her than trying to help her. That's very sad to me. And they're going to use her for their purposes. They want to destroy her life. They want her stoned to death. But they kind of know Jesus, too, that he has compassion on people. And we'll talk about that. But this is legalism. Legalism looks at the sins of others and sees them as evil, and yet they ignore their own sins. The scribes were the ones that not only copied the law, but interpreted the law and taught the law. The Pharisees were the extreme legalists of their day, very self-righteous. They thought they alone kept the law of Moses. And of course they didn't, but they acted like it. That's why they, in Acts chapter 7, they looked down upon the crowds of people, the Jewish people.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.